Blog Talk Radio.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Keep it running, leave it messy. Go ahead and live it. Claim a feeling.
Welcome to Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe, a community therapy platform breaking the stigma on mental health in ourselves, families, and communities one conversation at a time. With host LaWanda Chambers, licensed professional counselor, a.k.a. your therapist's favorite therapist, putting care back into you and the community. Black Sister Talk is an affiliate of the Black Reality Think Tank Radio Network and is broadcasted on the Blog Talk Radio platform.
Good afternoon, Ms. Chambers. You are now on the air.
Happy Saturday, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Black Sister Talk, where you can breathe. I am Ms. Wanda, your therapist's favorite therapist, giving you yet another unfiltered, candid conversation. Today is over in about 4 months, and I must say it has been too long, but I'm back and a better version of myself. Since I have been off the air, Black Sister has added new members to our team, which continues to grow, which networks, changed our format a bit, pursued professional development, completed a trauma yoga certification, engaged in community projects to plant seeds in our youth, completed a business plan, engaged in tons of self-care, began reading a book, Know Thyself by Naeem Akbar. Anyone is interested in reading along with us? If anyone is interested in reading along with us, please send us a DM to Black Sister Talk. In addition to this, I was able to catch up with family that I haven't seen in about easily over 20 years. I know you are probably thinking that that's too long, and I can agree. That's why I made it happen. I haven't seen my grandma in over 15 years and other relatives. I hadn't seen since I was like 5. Man, how time flies. I have to take accountability for my life circumstances. I had to stop making excuses and do what I felt in my heart was right. I had a great mentor who once told me that you can't be my friend. See you at least 4 times a year. And you make time for the people you care about, which assisted me in getting in that car and making that drive, but also assisted me in being a better friend. Listen up. Sometimes we let work and our other obligations rule us to the point that we become slaves to the work culture and not to ourselves and what makes us feel whole. We forget about the self culture chasing the dream until we look up and realize we are alone. We can all breathe on that. Now ask yourself, what does self need? Because I know if I die right now, my company will walk over me to get to a replacement. These are facts. Moving on in just a sec. But I must also mention that with spending time with my grandmother, I was also able to see my father, who I hadn't seen in a while. This was also special to me. It was a great opportunity to meet relatives I never knew or hadn't seen in a while. It opened me up to wanting to get to know who my people were and wanted to be. Turns out I have an even bigger family than I thought. I was so grateful to meet my cousin Tiff, who also has a talk show called Talks with Tiff. She is on the air in Chicago on the Great Lakes Radio Big Gospel Express. Okay, WBGX, 1570 AM, every Tuesday at 10 AM. Go check her out, not just because she is my cousin, but because she's real and can support those who are honest in their delivery and have a passion to be the change they want to see. I love that black women have a voice and are not being silent about the things that are happening in our world. Black Sister Talk is a show where you can breathe and feel safe to express yourself. This is a place for acceptance and elevation. We want to help you heal or begin to think about the ways in which you need to heal because you didn't recognize it as a problem. If all you ever knew was dysfunction, then how can you gauge what is really happening? It is not until you have experiences outside of the norm or your norm that you may begin to challenge what is happening. You have experienced things outside of you. I know this can sound rather traumatizing, but it is a call to action that once you know better, you can do better. Amongst other things that will be discussed on today, I am so happy to be back and able to take up some space with you and learn what's been going on with you guys since we've been off the air, and how has this pandemic been treating you? Let's check in with our callers and check the temperature. I'm ready to hear from y'all. How y'all doing? What's been going on? Let's get into it. You know, I can't come back without just being honest and letting you know what life has been like for me, because we have developed a relationship where we're able to talk and be free And to do that is to be engaging and be honest and show who we are. This is how we make connections. And so I'm ready to connect with you. I'm ready to hear what you've been doing, how this pandemic has helped, hindered, redirected you, led you to mending relationships, working new jobs, figuring out new side hustles. I mean, there have been a lot of things that this pandemic has forced us to do. And working from home is not the only one. So, Black sisters and Black brothers and others who aren't Black but still very much a part of this conversation, because you know someone who is Black and you hang out maybe with somebody who's Black or you work with somebody who's Black, so you need to understand what that's like. I want to hear from you. Remember, our call-in number is 516-418-5674. Let's check the temperature. Hello, how you doing? 414-759, how's it going?
Hello, hello, hello. I am glad to be back. I'm glad you are back. It has been one. Not only have we been in a pandemic with this COVID thing, it's, please believe COVID has not gone anywhere, so please do not be fooled. Do whatever you need to do to protect yourself and others, and find some time in between for some me time. That has helped me get through this pandemic. But what COVID-19 has done for me, Ms. Chambers, is allowed me to be a free thinker. You know, with everything being shut down, you know, the jobs are with the uncertainties, I'm like, so what do I do? I still have to survive. I still have a family. So I have decided to create my own business, work with other businesses to help them continue to thrive in their businesses, and do some other side things on the side that are legit. Let me add that. So if COVID didn't teach you anything, it should have taught all of us how to be thankful in the moment, send all praises up to God that have kept you safe, and also gave you an outlet to be creative of planning things around you and your family. Because you're taking back some of that power and that control, and then, you know, creating your own outlet or how things you would like things to go in your life. And that way others can't always have the power and control over, well, you know, we got to close because of this. We got to do this because of this. Now you're on your own business. You know, you're on your own business. And somebody controls that is you. And not only that, you keep you and yourself and your family safe. You know how to communicate and interact with others in a safe manner. There's many technology platforms out here where you can continue that ongoing communication. So that has helped me during this pandemic.
I appreciate you sharing that. Especially hearing you talk about being safe during this pandemic and the false idea that this pandemic is over. I think that during this pandemic, we have become comfortable with the idea that we're safe because that's where we're content. But the reality is we're no different than what we were at the beginning of this thing. I mean, we have to still make a living. We still have to work. We still have to survive. we still have our children and our family members and the challenges that may come with those woes in itself. Those challenges were already there before the pandemic. The pandemic showed up and added an extra layer. And like you said, this was a time to reinvent yourself, and so to say, because, hey, the bills were still due, and everybody wasn't providing assistance for certain things that people needed that assistance with. I mean, and just to take it even a step further, a lot of these jobs, you know, people were coming to terms with, hey, it doesn't even make sense for me to work right now, not just because they were able to get unemployment, which probably paid them more than their jobs, but for me, it would have been the decision of safety. You know, I need to be safe. I need to make sure my babies, you know, are safe. I need to make sure my family is safe. I need to make sure I am safe. And so this pandemic, if you were the breadwinner or you the one that everybody is counting on, I'm pretty sure as that caregiver, that has also added more stress to the plate. I mean, just having conversations with different people in the community, friends and family members. I've heard their stories about reinventing themselves. I've heard their stories about, hey, I had to pick up a side hustle because my main job isn't providing me with the same security that I once was content with. Some companies close completely. If you have a home and, you know, you got a mortgage to pay, your light bill, okay, yeah, they took care of your mortgage, but what about your light bill? What about your water bill? There was no assistance for all of the bills that people have accumulated to live the lifestyle that they have lived. And let's not talk about savings, because we already know most people aren't able to save enough money for an emergency, a $400 emergency. This pandemic was way more than a $400 emergency. I mean, I'm just thinking about one of my best friends who live out in Atlanta. I mean, she had to reinvent herself. Very, very smart, intelligent young black woman. Oh, my God. Has all the skills, honey, all the skills to pay the bills. And to hear her talk to me about all of the trainings and all of the things that she had invested in was not even an option at that point in time. And to hear her say, okay, well, although this is happening, I still need to income for me. And I'm so proud that she was able to do it. And I'm blessed to be around people who don't take no for an answer. I am blessed to be around my any means necessary women. Do you hear me? Because that is what gives me the motivation and the breath to keep moving, knowing that we are all in this together. So I appreciate you bringing that up, Ms. Laney, because that is true. That is so true that, yeah, some reinvention had to happen. Yes, we have to think about safety different. Yes, this pandemic is not over. And how do we continue to prepare and guide our children, families, friends, neighbors, and our communities in the best way? Just thinking about that makes me think about, you know, the society, the macro system around us, and how they are very eager or have demonstrated their eagerness to get back to normal or normality with the vaccinations, number one. Number two, with sending the kids back to school. Three, opening the festivals up and all of the things that they have done to really get things back to normal. The bus is back to normal. Anybody and everybody can get on there. I mean, we have to have went back to how they were, but should they be like that? I mean, yes, we do want to have positive thoughts. We do want to speak things into existence. But we also, come on, people, we also have to have discernment and look at the reality around us and see this is not safe. I want to hear from our callers a little bit about how are you feeling about your babies, or if you have babies that are in school, or if you're working with babies in school. What has your experience been like? And anybody first of all, let me just let you all know your lines are unmuted. And anybody who wants to chime in, you are more than welcome to chime in, because this is an open forum where we all can breathe and all have something to add to the conversation. So just know that your line's unmuted. And if you don't want something to be heard from your background, I ask that you personally mute your own phone at that time. Y'all got me?
I can chime in on that, Ms. Chambers, because I do have a foster son who has gone from virtual learning to back to in-person. Scariest thing in the world, because the school district here decided that they wanted to do something different with the virtual, where the parents actually have to teach the children. There's no actual teacher that's teaching the lesson, but you do have the option to set an appointment to speak to a teacher if you have a question, which is, I think, you know, I can get on my soapbox about that. I think it's setting the kids up for failure, and it's forcing the parents to have to put them back in person, which is the ultimate goal of the school district. But for me, that's the scariest thing in the world, because not only do I have a 6-year-old who's going back to in-person, he's not eligible for vaccination if that was my choice to get for him. And then how do you keep a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old in a mask all day? Because they're going to, you know, they want to share things with their other friends. They're going to be twirling the thing around. The teacher can say, oh, your parent wants you to keep this on, but doesn't mean that he's going to keep it on. Well, do it mean that she's going to keep it on? No, it doesn't. And you can't force them. You can only tell them what the parents want for them to do, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to do it. And then do we have enough staff in the school to sanitize and keep things clean? Don't know that. So that's another scary thing for me. The only thing I can do is pray that he's okay and other children like him, along with the staff, because he do need to be in school. But, you know, at whose expense that they're sending his kids back and they're not prepared when they're communicating that they are prepared? No, I sit on all the board meetings. I'm a very active parent, grandparent, foster parent, because I want to know what's going to affect the child that I have to care for, and how I have to be flexible and come up with some other things to keep them safe. So it is a scary world for our little people. They don't understand what's going on. So having said that, it's scary. It's really scary, because not only do I have him, I have two of his siblings that he has to come home to every day. And not everybody is being honest about this. And, you know, and I know HIPAA is out here and it protects you, but it's the school responsibility to say, without naming that individual, to say, hey, your child has been exposed. So that gives us an option to go and have tests done to make sure that being exposed didn't come home with him, to expose not only his siblings, myself. And then I also help care for people that have underlying issues. My mother, people in our community, my godparents. Time that we live in right now with all the uncertainties. And, you know, you have people in these positions and titles that are not being completely honest with us. So that's how I'm feeling as a foster parent who has a child that's in school.
Ms. Chambers,
you know,
may I tap in?
Oh, absolutely.
So to piggyback off of what the last listener just said, I am coming from a mother and from an educator point of view, and I absolutely wholeheartedly agree with the lady who just spoke about her foster child and siblings. So I'm an educator who relocated during the pandemic due to my mother's health, and I was a director as well as a kindergarten teacher. So from the beginning, COVID was a very serious issue for me because, like you said, I am dealing with, at the time, we had over 120 students at our school. And even though that's small compared to some places, that is how many parents, that's how many other siblings and relatives in a home, and whomever believes and chooses to do what they do in their home with this COVID, I don't know, and it's not my decision to make it for that family, but it is my decision to make sure that all of the staff that is taking care of the children, as well as the families who are going to school, were safe. And it became often overwhelming for myself as well as my family, to the point where I had extra clothes in the garage, and I'm changing clothes before I even walk into my home and washing hands and going right upstairs to shower to make sure that my people who had pre-existing conditions were as safe as I can possibly make it, as well as making sure that my staff were going home the same way they left to ensure that their family was safe. This is bigger than us. It's definitely a political thing, and I know people don't look at it that way. The reason why I feel it's a political thing is because the same way that the government is taking the tens of millions of dollars for PPP loans and things of that nature, we weren't investing in education like we should have. And once again, when I say we, I'm speaking of like the government before COVID. My teachers didn't have enough assistance then. We didn't have enough educational supplies depending on what social economic area you may have been in. So we were already under attack when it comes to an educational foundation as a community and a culture in general. Most local neighborhood schools didn't have the proper heating or cooling system or up-to-date books. So now we're not only dealing with the fact that we were making sure that our children had the best they could just to continue to get the education they deserve. Now we are adding safety. We're adding safety to a point where our teachers are not, we're not getting paid what they're worth before. And now they're getting paid any less because why? The money has changed. The dynamic has changed. The money that was being poured into the schools are even less now because we're going back and forth with the hybrid. There are so many different things to tackle. I agree with you. The virtual education component compared to the school component, our families and parents needed assistance before COVID on just learning how to keep up with how to help their children be the best student they could be. So I am very confused in the fact that there was no formal training over the summer for our families before the little email came out to say, hey, you know, your child will be going back to school or not going back to school, and here's the laid out points. One of the things that I've often said to my staff for years when they had certain complaints about different things with our parents were that our parents are not the professionals here when it comes to how we teach and manage our classrooms. That's why they trust us to do so. So imagine the parents who love their children, but they are not versed in how to work with young children. How do we now expect them to understand what to do and how to do it? And let's be honest, what happens in the classroom and what happens at home are two different foundations. And as parents, they're just trying to keep head above water because they're going through what they're going through just to keep a roof over their children's head and food in their children's belly while we are all dealing with this pandemic on a different level. Explain to me, how are they prepared? And if we don't give them that extra preparedness that we weren't doing before COVID, honestly, what do we expect to happen now? And she's absolutely right. There are the families who are taking all the precautions and doing all they can to make sure their homes are safe. But unfortunately, there are families that are not. And there's no kind of flag on their forehead to let us know that. So we are still taking chances. We're taking chances that our children are not getting the proper education, foundation, and support that they need because children were already coming to school with so many things on their heads and their hearts. And now we have added to that. We've already been through a whole school year, no matter whether your child has never been in formal education or not, that most children have missed out. So now we are compiling on new things to old things that haven't been done, and the structure needs to be redone all the way around. And it starts at home, but it definitely starts at school. And if we're not providing it at school and they're just trying to figure it out as they go, I'm an educator who's walked away from that because the school system that I was working in constantly let us know that they weren't concerned. They were not worried about the safety of my staff, and that was a concern for me because if my staff does not feel supported to safely do their jobs, to give your children the safety, security, and educational components that they need, then how can they do their job safely? Like, it is definitely a trickle-down system that made me really revise how I look at my own career path and how I can still help the families, you know, without being inside the institution who, at least for the district that I was working in, showing me that the families were not the priority. Getting money was the priority. And let's not go to my children who need those specific extra help, my IEP children who haven't seen any of their therapists, any of their specific teachers who work with their needs. Like, there are severe things that are going on in our educational system for not only our children but our parents. If our parents don't have the support to show them what can be done to assist them in going through whatever this new educational structure looks like, where do we go from here? It's definitely stressful all the way around, and my hats go off to parents who are trying to do their best to navigate through work and maybe homeschooling partially and, you know, sometimes I'm running into parents who are losing jobs. Like, it is a lot. And I can only imagine, you know, what some of our families are going through depending on, you know, where their children are going to school and how that looks. So I just definitely want the parents to know that there are educators out here who are concerned, who are trying to figure out how we can re-navigate, how to assist in this transition, not only for ourselves, but so we can make sure that our, you know, children in the communities are getting what they need so they can still have a strong foundation of education as we grow through whatever this post-pandemic educational life looks like.
Come on, come on. Let me, if y'all don't know, I'm up here snapping my fingers. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? We have the same concerns, but these concerns are not heard. Do you not know how frustrated I was to find out that the children were going back to school? I felt bullied. I didn't even have kids, but I've taken several other people's kids, community kids, therapy kids, family kids, sister, my siblings, okay? And to hear that they were being bullied back into school and being told, hey, wear your face mask. Keep it on all day. We're going to social distance. If we haven't learned anything from this pandemic, let me be the first one to give you a quick tip. Social distancing is wearing your mask is not the only thing that is going to save you from this invisible monster. Clearly that wasn't the solution. And I'm only saying that this because every day my sister's school sent a letter home or emailed or called with a pre-recorded message letting us know that the school has been exposed or your child has been exposed to COVID and still want me to send her to school the next day. I mean, it was ludicrous. I would get those letters every day and I would have the school social worker calling me asking me to send her to school. And I would tell them, I would say, are you serious? You just sent this letter home to me. Are you serious? Don't call me again. Oh, well, you know there are ramifications for not sending your child to school. I don't care what those ramifications are because when I go to court, I'm going to say it's a pandemic. Are you stupid? I'm not going to.
Wow.
I will come to court with every letter that they sent me. And I told them, she's absolutely doing virtual schooling. Just like you, children are being exposed to this to this thing, and then they're coming home where we have people who are vulnerable to getting COVID. I heard you saying, like, oh, I would have to plan it out. I would literally have to go into my garage and change clothes. Like, that type of planning, that took me back to my nursing days where this is what we had to do because we worked with people who were ill. And to not bring that home to our families, that's the method to the madness, to keep you safe, to keep you making your bread. I mean, that is stressful within itself. Because now it's like, if I mess up or I make one wrong mistake, I could create a ripple effect that I'm just not prepared to deal with. So I appreciate you for making all of those very valid points. Like, it's too much.
You know, can I chime in there? Oh, you, Lulu. Okay. You know,
hey, Lulu.
First of all, hello, it's good to be back.
Happy listen, to have you back, Lulu.
Okay. But listen, this pandemic, it is so serious. But first, we got to look at the political output that's creating this drama. They're creating it because I feel like this. If children, there's a lot of people who don't want their kids at home and not willing to take care of them to do what they need to do. I'm going to say this right now. I have a kid that came to school and he was coughing. I had to show him how to cough in his arm. I did get sick. Wednesday and Thursday, I almost just passed out in school. I had to come home and take care of myself. And I'm glad my son and daughter-in-law is out of town right now. I didn't want them to know. But here's the problem. This little boy, I had them to send him home, and the next day he was back at school. Now, when he threw up, it wasn't nothing but cold. And I cleaned it up. I mean, it was just so slimy. He needs to stay at home. That's one side, the political, and here's the other side with the parents, because the kids want to be in school to have fun with each other, but the seriousness of it all, they're not taking it serious because our government, and I'm going to say it, Trump, didn't take it serious, but all those people had shots, they did, and the people, and they made things so difficult. We have to get the parents on board. What is best for your child? Because if your child brings something home and it kills the family and put them in nursing homes and cripple them for life, what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What are they going to do? Nothing.
Yeah, nothing. So the parents has got to get on board and tell the politics, why are you fighting our governor? And here's the thing about the mask. And this is what a doctor told me when I was in the hospital. He said, it keeps you from putting your germs on other people. He said, when their doctors, and this was long before the pandemic, if you have anything wrong with you and you open a person up, that is going to go into them. So when you wear the mask, it avoids the point of you, however you have, from going on someone else. And at full volume. So I understand it about the mask, he said, because the next time he do a surgery to persons like that, he said, well, I'm not going to wear a mask. And then you're putting that person at risk. It's about taking care of the other person. And then there's people. So that's the thing. And the immune system. We got to keep our immune systems up because the government don't care. It's all about them and their money. And when we talk about money and state businesses, our money goes to the government. Well, we used to work 1 month for it. Now we have to work 2 months to take care of the government. Now, and they're making decisions that's unhealthy. I mean, there's nothing wrong with virtual school. Some people, well, my kids can't learn. Well, take away all the foolishness and all this higher learning that they're calling it and get back down to the ABCs and 1, 2, 3s and 1 and 1 is always going to be 2. And make it simple instead of all this complicated stuff to keep our kids from reaching the same mark as their kids. I just take another twist on it. Because it's like when I look at that stuff that they're showing on the videos for that, it's so complicated, and kids do get lost. So why not teach them the old division so the kids could do it and get a grade? Do it. So they want the kids to come to school, so the people that are making the books, people that have got stocks and bonds and all of this, they make their money, and then they bring it back down and say, but yet they're not supporting our government and saying, the ones like Biden is saying, wear your mask, do this. Well, if it takes virtual teaching, then slim it down. You don't have to have all this hard stuff that some teachers can't even explain themselves for the kids to understand. Go virtual.
Come on now. Right.
And parents could actually go virtual because there are a lot of online schools today. You don't have to be in that building. There's online schools, and you can put your child into it. It's just it's a paradigm shift that people are going to have to make, and people have a voice. If they start doing this, then they won't have to fight the battle against the, let's call it, the Republicans.
You can say it again for the people in the back that didn't hear you.
Say that again.
Say it again for the people in the back.
Who it was.
I said this battle is political, but people who have children in school, there are many online schools today. They do not have to send their kids to public school or private. Whoever trying to make, as they say, make the money, they can do this. Teachers that want to be out there and go take a risk, I guess I'm one of them because I take care of myself, but they need to understand that they can do this instead of fighting all the battles and waiting for them. We as people have power, and when we show our power, they're going to have to make better decisions because they're making decisions according to what they believe and what the rich have put in place, who can do anything they want. They got the best medicines and the best of everything, and we're scratching around at the bottom with nothing. And if they send threatening letters home, it's because how do you make money with children in school? You make it by everybody has a number to them, amount of money, and that school gets the money. If the kid's not in school, they can't. So they need to deal with the hybrid, that if their kid is checking into that computer system and their teachers are working with them, it would be a problem. But see, that's not the real problem. They want us to fight down here amongst ourselves and say things against them, and they're not going to hear us. But we need to make a real decision that now, since this COVID is so dangerous and it's a paradigm shift, until they figure it out, kids are safe in their homes. Then it's up to the parents to keep them and help them get their education the way it was before. We depend on other people too much to educate our children.
You hit the nail right on the head. That you said a mouthful right there, Lulu. Because sending those letters home, they say first tactic, them calls, second tactic, oh, we're going to send you to court. All of it's about the bottom line, and that's the money. The last letter they sent home was, can you please make sure your child is in attendance on this day? They got a head count day that they need your child to be at school so that they can get the funds that they are going to receive for the children that are participating. And so
right. That's
an issue right there in itself. They're not concerned
and
with
my
the
thing.
Study
that's
children.
Why they need to put pressure on the government, because if the kid is on there by virtual, they can still get the same money. Why does it have to be that way? Why does they have to fight to get them in? If the school has online tutoring or online teaching, whatever it is, but they make it sound like that because they can't really school. You do not have to really send your kid to school. These are laws that they made that because the first school was not set up that way. They found a moneymaker and a moneymaker for them. So parents, get on board. We need to get parents together and say, okay, what is it that you want? The parents that don't want to deal with their kids, that's their problem. but it's more people who do care about their kids and what they're bringing home. I'm not going to get disgusted over any letter or anything that they send and take me to court, because here it is. All you got to do is put them in an online school, and now it's done. It's settled.
Come on. Now that right? Online school, you're right about that, Lulu, because some of these online schools actually have virtual teachers. You just heard my other friend online, who actually has the business Little Learners, which is actually an online school educational platform. And so it is happening. It is very much happening right now. However, people are not willing to invest in that. You were about to say something?
Oh, I was going to just say I agree with, I believe her name, Miss Lulu. I absolutely agree with everything she's saying, and that is a part of the conversation needs to be had, because what she just said when she said the parents who don't want to deal with their children is their issue. But Miss Lulu, as you know, as an educator like you, we were dealing with that issue before COVID, and now it has intensified so much that I don't even know which is worse at this time. We had those parents who we knew we had to track down because of behavior or hygiene or educational standards, and we have to deal with the parents who have to work two jobs just to make it through and may not have that time because of the type of job they have, compared to the parents who don't give a hot dog. Just take this child, they on my nerves, and this child recognizes that, and they know that even if you call mama, mama ain't worried about it because mama said that I am your problem until 3:15 every day. And so now we have that issue with COVID and not following directions and not keeping a mask on and not being able to. It has intensified so much that I don't even know where to begin, because it's a social economic issue. It is a homecoming issue. It is a an education. It goes so beyond now that I am not going to give up, but I definitely need more affirmation on how to stay positive during it, because it is heartbreaking. We were already dealing with a very high percentage of parents who didn't give a damn, excuse me, already. And now we have, you know, the health component, and we have the structure that the schools only can do so much, and like you said, they have found another way to capitalize off the money. They personally show us that they don't care. And you know what do we do in these moments, and that we can stay safe? Like you said, thank God that you have been safe so far. I chose not to go back because of, at one point in time, all of my staff caught COVID but me and somebody else. Literally, I had a staff of 20, and I went down to 5 in less than 30 days. And that's how I had to walk away, because they weren't feeling supported. I didn't have the okay to put certain rules into place, because the big bosses were looking at the dollar sign. Y'all can look at the dollar sign, but where are you going to find? And then on top of that, there's a difference between quality educators and just people who are just taking these jobs, which makes a difference, you know, in the – It's a lot. Lulu, you hit it on the head right there.
Well, you know, my thing is, I know that I have, over the years, everything you said is being a teacher, our kids catch colds and they come and all the teachers get infected. Mm-hmm. It's no different. Mm-hmm. But what we got to take care of ourselves. And it's like our immune system has to be where it's supposed to be. Or otherwise.
That's right.
Now, because I had a stroke and I'm not up to par where I was, when this kid caught this cold and came to school, and I don't know, it may be COVID, he may be out come next week because he's throwing up and is all slime. That means he's filled with something. It could be just a regular flu. But my thing is, I got to take care of me. And if, I don't know, you can get exposed anywhere you go because we can't see this disease in the air. It happens.
Right.
So we got to first take care of ourselves, and we're worried about them with the money. That's not the issue. That's their problem. And if they have to let teachers go and have a smaller one, that's what they got to do. But we got to work on our health that we don't do anything to harm ourselves and not be here to teach. So getting people to start looking at their own personal issues and stop waiting for the government, because everything they've ever done was in their interest and not the interest of our children. From books, the books that they use, and this is what I was saying. I was saying this. I didn't say it here. But we need more parents to get involved with their children's education. Ask them, why do you have Saxon, which teach a new concept every day? And you know it takes about 3 weeks for a child to catch on to a concept. And
yes, ma'am.
I am so dissatisfied with our government, the way they do things, because it's a system for them, not us. They can educate their kids. They can do all this. Those people, kids, are safe. Our kids are, they're playing games with us. And with the COVID, they're doing the same thing. So my thing is, we need to get a hold to the parents and say, what is it that you want? Because a paradigm shift is about to happen.
Yep.
If they, and the money, and you can still pay teachers. You don't have teachers that's online that's willing to teach. You could put that money in there. It's a money game, and it's like they're not getting what they want, and we need to recognize that, and we need to focus, because I don't care how many letters they send home. I don't care how they tell you, and you make sure your child is here for count day. So if they're sick, how are they going to be there?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
So why? They can have, that's how the government have made, they teach the schools make money by a head count. That's not our problem. And I look at all the schools in Milwaukee that has closed down before COVID even got here because the head count was down.
Add up to Ms. Lulu. Ms. Lulu. I agree wholeheartedly everything that you're saying. Now, let me get on my soapbox.
Okay.
About the Republicans and how they're doing this shift with our children. What pisses me off is when they use somebody that looks like us to lead this thing. Let me put that out there. When I said lead that looks like us, when they put somebody in that place that looks like us, that are the head person up there, that looks like us, and then those learning blocks, they want you to go by things as if it's scripted. Why can't we teach from how we used to teach? Why everything got to be so scripted and precise how you teaching your kids, and you're not teaching them everything because you got so many minutes to teach science, so many minutes, because I'm a teacher too, so many minutes to teach math, so many minutes to teach reading, phonics. Who does
that?
So now you come up with a different curriculum because you got somebody that looks like us that is black spearheading this thing, sending our kids off into a rabbit hole that they ain't going to be able to get out of.
Well, I'm gonna tell
Let
you,
me put that out there because I'm pissed now.
Listen, I'm going to tell you, I don't care how they do it, because I've seen it about 10 years ago. How the system people, and this is where the kids are supposed to be, and they're not. Now, I watch teachers, both colors, give the kids this here and teaching it, and the kids are not even there at that point yet because they've broken everything down into these little gaps of learning. They're focusing on a European concept, not the circular concept that we are. And that's why I choose to be a teacher, because I'm not following their script. And I think they know that. Because the kids, when I went over to this other school and I pointed that out, that the kids not getting this, not getting that. And then I heard the PhD saying they're going to put literature and reading together. Those are two different animals. I'm not going to do it. And I told them, because Now you take it back because you're following a system that's going to destroy our kids, because they know that the blacks and Latinos and all these people are going to lead the world. So we have to do what we have to do. And even if you do, if you pick, and I'm going to tell you, out of professional development, I've learned one thing through Calipo. It's like whatever they need the most that's going to help them get through, that's what you teach. You can't do it. You can't do all of that because it's too rapid, and our kids need at least 3 weeks to learn a certain thing, what they need. And we as teachers have to use our savvy to do that. And when you change over, you can rotate it right in there the way it used to. That's what I do.
And that's exactly what I did.
And that's what has to be done, because when they started this, the Department of Instructions did this. And I don't care who's doing it. This is what they're looking at. And when they go for accreditation and stuff. But we don't have to do it. We know what to do. But the teachers of the future, they're going to be in trouble, and our kids are going to be in trouble. They're going to be a lot of trouble because they don't want us to catch up with them. And they're the ones with the education that look like it, but that education is not about us. And I hear you, Miss Lane.
You better say
that's
it.
That's why we're here.
And like I tell them every week, they want you to rush through these lesson plans. They want you to do this here and do that there. Until all my black children are ready, they're not going forward. Until they all can get it, because we all learn on different levels. We all learn at different things, at different times. We all learn by different things. We don't learn the same. So they're not going to force me to move my kids on to the next curriculum, because that's how you designed it. No, you're not setting them up for failure. And then let me get on my other soapbox about this here, because we have different cultures in our school, and why do they get to be pulled out to be taught their language, taught our language, but why we can't pull our black kids out and teach them their language too? Let me put that out there. You get what I mean?
That's because I'm gonna tell you something. We have been their passage for ever since slave days, and whatever we get is the leftovers. And that's why when I say like this here, we have to start coming up with programs and say, look, I've actually looked at this kid, and I've actually did numbers. Research really do help. Really do help.
Yep.
You go to college, you learn how to do it. We have to start bringing this to the forefront. They're not going to do it. This is not about them. And it's like the way I have learned to teach, by me going through the public school and seeing what's happening, and now DPI is putting it on all schools because they don't want them to succeed, is that teacher got to learn how to rotate. Take what the kids know, pick what's important for them to get to the next stage of life, because they're going to mature no matter what. They're going to mature to a level where they understand, introduce it to them, and then stay on the parts that they need. Because, I mean, with all of my kids, I got every one of them is in a different place. But me as a teacher got to find out how do I get them to the next level.
Well, I get that, Ms. Lulu. But not all our kids are going to be mature. What about our kids that got cognitive learning, that we don't have individual educational plan in place for them? What about them? Because they learn at a different level and a different pace. You can't expect them to know count from 1 to 100. You can't expect them to know all 100 words. You got to put something in place.
But again,
you know what I found out?
I got to tell y'all here. Wait a minute now, y'all. Know this is Black Sister Talk now. We still breathing, but wait a minute.
She's got
top of the hour. This conversation is getting
real.
I hear it. I said, I'm going to give y'all ladies a few more minutes.
It's that it's being brought out. And here's my thing. Since I've been over here at this school, I learned a little girl from the fourth grade. Now she's in the eighth grade. This girl could not do anything. But see, this is, and I said, she got a learning disability, and they was handling her in another way. And what I did for her is that you have to encourage them because they got a way of learning. Milwaukee, Kenosha was sued for this very fact, that they put every black male into a program because it made them money. But God gave us children. Everybody learned differently. He's not going to judge us that way. And when we see that child is lonely, that's back there, we have to give them what they need. And it's like a program for it. We don't have enough people educated like what you're talking about to come up and start dealing with these issues. They want to label them a learning disability. But it's not really a learning disability. It's a different style of learning.
Correct. That is correct.
They're going to get there. They're going to get there. And my thing is, some of these programs, they pull these kids out, and they get extra money for it, and them kids is no better off than they was. I mean, I got kids walking in my room now because the way I'm teaching, the basics. Any child can learn the basics that God gave them. But when you get all fancy with this stuff, yeah, it confuses me too because I'm a kinesthetic learner. I am. Because I tried, look, I had a son with an IEP. I had a son with one, and it wasn't until a teacher told me at Burroughs, look, these are the basic things he needs. You give him, and you do rope learning with him. And, you know, he's a man, and it took him all the way to 40 to get his life straight. But he knows the basics of life. Everybody's not going to be a scholar.
Nope. That's true.
So we have to. And when these people coming from a foreign country and they don't understand our language, they got it harder because their minds are computers. They can't just flip it and make it work. But the ones who was taught in their country who have a foundation for learning, that's when those kids are excelling and they all in college now. So it's like, yeah, I feel sorry, but we got to get to the parents because the parents have to help this situation. They got to. Because I can't see no other way than to give them that. Because even if they're pulling out and they're going home and their parents are not helping them, how are they going to hold on to it in their mind?
They only with you for so much time, and if this information is not reinforced at home, heck, half the time the parents don't even understand the homework that's being sent home. And let's just take it a step further. Some of these parents don't know how to read and don't have a high school diploma themselves. So
absolutely,
that's right. So we got a issue here. But you know what, that remind me, because there's a pastor, a couple pastors that are, Miss Lane, you know they are, Miss Lily's husband. They decorate. Well, they're starting a parent program where the kids to teach the parents how to read and how to do this. And they're asking for our open house that these parents sign up so that they can help. And they're putting it in such a way that they won't be embarrassed. We need to do some of these things too, but we can't get the parents there.
Well, that's bingo, ding, 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 ding. Come on, everybody. That's why all of this mess is going on, because the parents are not showing up and the parents are not speaking out, and they are getting invited to the meetings. And the world in which it is shaped and the way things are flowing, the parents don't have time to go to that meeting because they are too busy trying to pay the bills, or they are too busy trying to keep up and follow up behind their men or somebody else's men, or I mean, the list goes on and on with the things that parents are ordering for their children. So we're not going to even get into the pointing of the fingers. We are going to get into the stating the problem and saying, hey, if what you heard offended you, then take a look here and see how it is really going to affect you in your future. Now that that has been said, I got to let you know we are at the top of the hour, and before we go into the rest of this discussion, because, I mean, we so fixated on this one part that in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about these vaccinations and how they come into place and how that adds to the temperature.
So before we get to that, I'm going to share an ancestral profile with you guys. I thought it would be nice to talk to everyone about Alice Ball. Alice Ball was an African-American chemist who developed the first successful treatment for those suffering from Hansen's disease, also known as leprosy. Alice Ball was the first woman to graduate with a master's degree in chemistry from the College of Hawaii, not known as the University of Hawaii. Tragically, Ball died at the young age of 24. During her brief lifetime, she did not get to see the full impact of her discovery. It was not until years after her death that Ball got the proper credit she deserved. She was born on July 24, 1892, in Seattle, Washington, to Laura, a photographer, and James P. Ball, Jr., a lawyer. She was the middle child with two older brothers, Robert and William, and a younger sister, Abby. Her grandfather, James P. Ball, Sr., was a well-known photographer and was amongst the first to practice daguerreotype photography, a process of printing photographs onto metal plates. The family enjoyed a middle-class lifestyle. In 1903, they moved from chilly Seattle to the warm weather of Honolulu in hopes that James Ball Sr.'s arthritis pains would be alleviated. Sadly, James Ball Sr. died shortly after the move, and the family relocated back to Seattle. Ball excelled at Seattle High School, graduated in 1910, and went on to obtain multiple graduate degrees from the University of Washington and the College of Hawaii. Come on, sister's been getting these degrees and getting this education. Let's talk about this leprosy treatment, a.k.a. the ball man.
Right.
Okay. After earning her undergraduate degree in pharmaceutical chemistry in 1912 and pharmacy in 1914, come on, she is an overachiever, from the University of Washington, Alice Ball transferred to the College of Hawaii, now known as the University of Hawaii, and became the very first African-American and the very first woman to graduate with a master's degree in chemistry in 1915. She was offered a teaching and research position. Come on, teachers. There, and became the institution's very first woman chemistry instructor. She was only 23 years old. Don't nobody tell me what young folks can and cannot do, okay? Because I'll let you know they can. As a laboratory researcher, Ball worked extensively to develop a successful treatment for those suffering from Hansen's disease, leprosy. Her research led her to create the first injectable leprosy treatment using oil from the Kamaruga tree, which up until then was only a moderately successful topical agent that was used in Chinese and Indian medicine. Ball successfully isolated the oil into fatty acid components of different molecular weights, allowing her to manipulate the oil into a water-soluble injectable form. Ball's scientific rigor resulted in a highly successful method to alleviate leprosy symptoms, later known as the Ball method, that was used on thousands of infected individuals for over 30 years until sulfone drugs were introduced. The Ball method was so successful, leprosy patients were discharged from hospitals and facilities across the globe, including from Kalupa, an isolation facility on the north shore of Molokai, Hawaii, where thousands of people suffering from leprosy died in years prior. Thanks to Alice Ball, these banished individuals could now return to their families, free from the symptoms of leprosy. Death and discovery credit stolen. Tragically, Ball died on December 31st, 1916, at the young age of 24, after complications resulting from inhaling chlorine gas in a lab teaching accident. During her brief lifetime, she did not get to see her full impact of her discovery. What's more, following her death, the president of the College of Hawaii, Dr. Arthur Dean, continued Ball's research without giving her credit for the discovery. Dean even claimed her discovery for himself, calling it the Dean method, genuinely. It was commonplace for men to take credit of women's discoveries, and Ball fell victim to this practice. Some things never change.
In 1922, 6 years after her death, Dr. Harry T. Holman, the assistant surgeon at Kalihi Hospital, who originally encouraged Ball to explore Chamalugra oil, published a paper giving Ball the proper credit she deserved. Even so, Ball remained largely forgotten from scientific history until recently. In 2000, the University of Hawaii, Manawa, placed a bronze plaque in front of the Chamalugra tree on campus to honor Ball's life and her important discovery. Former Lieutenant Governor of Hawaii, Mazi Hirono, also declared February 29th Alice Ball Day. In 2007, the University of Hawaii posthumously awarded her with the Regents Medal of Distinction. In 2017, Paul Wermager, a scholar who has been researching, publishing, and lecturing about Ball for years at the University of Hawaii, Manawa, established the Alice Augusta Ball Endowed Scholarship to support students in the College of Natural Sciences pursuing a degree in chemistry, biology, or microbiology. Acknowledging the importance of Ball's work through his scholarship, Wermager stated, not only did she overcome the racial and gender barriers of her time to become one of the very few African-American women to earn a master's degree in chemistry, but she also developed the first useful treatment for Hansen's disease. Her amazing life was cut too short at the age of 24. Who knows what other marvelous work she could have accomplished had she lived. Rest in power, Alice Ball. I am happy to have discovered you. Black Sister Talk not only has these very dynamic discussions, but we also inject the identity components into our discussions because we need to influence and motivate one another to know that our true identity is that of a creator. You know, we are intelligent. We are not lazy. We get up and we move. And so I hope that this conversation today has presented you with just that experience that, hey, we have a lot of intelligent black women on the line today, and this is not new. This is what we do. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead into our break. We're going to come back and get back into this discussion and segue into how Alice Ball was such a phenomenal woman and talk a little bit about this COVID vaccine and look at how we get to Dr. Tizmekia Corbett, who was one of the who is an African American woman who is behind the COVID-19 vaccine. So we're gonna get into this discussion a little bit more, ladies. Okay.
Whoa! Did you see that? It's amazing how stress affects us all differently. When I'm feeling stressed, I just need to talk it out. But it wasn't always like that for me. Not until a friend told me to give therapy a try. Did you know that therapy provides you with a sounding board to make the best choice you can make? Or that therapy provides you with a space to deal with stressors? And that you decide the goals you want to work on? Or most importantly, that you are not crazy because you speak with a therapist or ask for help? Therapy can change your perspective. Be the change and break the cycle by reaching out to a licensed mental health professional at Lifting Individuals Forward Everyday Counseling Services. Check out their website, lift-ife.com, or give them a call at 414-830-3001 to book an appointment. They even have flexible office hours to fit your schedule because they're open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. But don't take my word for it. Find out for yourself.
You said said that I've been acting different, yeah. Funny how I finally flipped the script on you. You the one that's double dipping, yeah. Used to slap me, how I caught you slipping up. You're off the beat, run me my keys. No more popping up the idiot, yeah. I ain't even got the miles to trip on, yeah. New phone, who with me? Brand new, like the whip. Rack it up, no assist. Make bitch, I ain't average. Wake up, need a lift. Hennessy, take a sip. Look at my jeans, I'm too big. I ain't got no room for extra baggage. Don't forget to come and pick up your feelings. Don't leave no pieces. You need to hurry and pick up your feelings. While I'm up in it, boy, please. And I don't need it. And memories and all that shit. And you can keep it. Don't forget to come and pick up your
feelings.
Don't need no pieces. I'm trying to find a fuck to get for you. And now the chances up for giving you. Yeah, listen, I ain't listening. Just for you to go and break my heart again. I love my listening. Hey, and I ain't coming. And you miss the boys you have now. And I bet you I'd bet it on a new phone. Who is it? Content. Don't leave it. Need a ride. I call that bitch. Guess we're too expensive. No more. Been a beast. Papa. Business. Headside. No grip. I ain't got no room for extra baggage. So don't forget to come and pick up the IP. Come and pick up the
feeling.
Yeah, I don't need no pieces. Put a lock on the door where my heart was won. But you had the fun. But I had it though. Now I'm really done. I deserve so much more than you gave to me. Now I'm saving me. And I made my peace. You can run them streets. But don't forget to come and pick up your feeling. Hurry up, pick up your feelings. While I'm a pleader, boy, please, I don't need it, I don't need it. Honestly, you can keep. I don't need it. I don't forget to love it, to don't need no pieces.
Healing Through Art, sponsored by Black Sister Talk. Join our art group and heal while doing with a licensed professional counselor. Black Sister Talk groups discuss a monthly topic to increase self-care and unplug from the world virtually. Group costs $75 per month and includes paint by number art canvas, easel, and paint. All supplies will be shipped to you prior to the group, and a link will be provided through email. To enroll in the group, send an email to blacksistertalk@gmail.com or a DM to Black Sister Talk on Instagram with name and an expression of interest in art group, and we will provide you the rest of the details from there.
Hey, everybody. We back now. Y'all can hear me, I hope. Please do check out the resources that I'm about to make available to you now. As the show continues to grow and more people call in, I will be able to provide resources based off of your areas. And so what I will share with you is a few community resources right here in Wisconsin. During this pandemic, I know a lot of people have been interested in buying their homes and creating more stability for themselves since they've created these
additional streams of income. So I want to give you the HRI home ownership class resource. What you want to do is go to their website and or give them a call at 414-461-6330. Again, that number is 461-6330. If you want to get a hold to them by their website, you want to go to www.hri-wy.org. Great resources. Check them out. They will help you create a plan to become a homeowner. Anyone that is at home and or not at home or just dealing with domestic abuse in any fashion, these are some domestic abuse resources. I know that during this pandemic and the shelter in place and the loss of the jobs, come on now, tension, anxiety, frustration, depression, all of these things were happening before the pandemic. But again, like everyone has said on this call today, things have been amplified. So you want to go ahead and check out the Milwaukee's Women's Center. Call in the 24/7 crisis line at 414-671-6140 or reaching out to the Sojourner Peace Center. Their phone number is 414-933-2722. Locally, you can always call 211 or 866-211-3380 or text 898-211 for specific resources such as food, shelter, and mental health referrals. Curious about getting any of those resources? This is the place you want to call. Anybody having challenges with the elderly or mental health, you can also call that 211 number. They will get you linked up with the Disability and Aging Department. Very resourceful, has a lot of resources as it pertains to guardianship as well as assistance with Chapter 55s and things of that nature. Let them know what your challenges are, and they will point you to the right resources. In addition to that, we have energy assistance resources that you can also get through 211 or 414-270-4653. You can also get those same resources through Community Advocates at 414-270-2941. If you need any other additional resources outside of the ones that I have just shared with you, do not hesitate to send us a DM or an email. We are here and want to answer your questions and engage with you. So don't hesitate to reach out to Black Sister on Instagram at Black Sister Talk. We want to hear from you. We want to engage with you. We want to hear your voice and help you to be heard. So, ladies, let's get back into this discussion. I hope y'all had y'all break. I hope y'all got y'all some ice water, some lemonade, or whatever your fancy is, because it's happy hour somewhere. And so I'm happy you spending an hour with me. So let's get back into it. Lulu, Lainey, Stephanie, you ladies, you have all chimed in and definitely given me something to think about as it pertains to the education components with this pandemic. Can we talk a little bit about this vaccination component and how that has been a hindrance? What are your thoughts?
I'll go, Ms. Chambers. Being that I have had both vaccinations, it was a struggle for me at first because I just didn't understand the whole, all the different information overload that you were receiving regarding the vaccination. So my advice to anyone that is considering it, sit down and have a conversation with your doctor. Stay away from the media. Stay away from the social media, things of that nature, that platform, and just educate yourself. Ms. Who said it best, research it out yourself. But in taking the vaccination, I'm still not completely sold on it because I'm more prone to getting COVID, and I'm vaccinated.
So it kind of defeated the purpose for me getting it if it's not going to protect me entirely from the from receiving COVID. The gist of it saying that it won't be severe, but if you're going to create a vaccination to head off this air thing, what they got out of here, because nobody can see it, then why create a vaccination and it's not going to protect you, so to speak? So I have to be extra cautious, even being vaccinated. And I think Ms. Lulu talked about the mask. I'm not too completely sold on that either because, you know, when we breathe, when God gave us a nose to breathe out of and to smell, we're breathing out, you know, stuff that's coming out of our body. But the mask back on, we're breathing it back in. I'm not understanding that either. So I say to those that are considering or on the fence, you know, do your homework on it. Because from someone that has been vaccinated, you know, I've done it now, but I should have stuck to my first mind and just waited it out and just trusted in the Lord, because he brought me this far without being COVID positive. And he's going to continue to take me further without being COVID positive. So that's where I'm at with it.
Listen, I'm over here running it up. I'm over here running it up, and you can't even hear me. So, what I was saying, Ms. Lane, is that I agree with you in some aspects of that, but that vaccine, for me, it wasn't a necessary thing, and I can go on the record and say that, because if you take the flu vaccine, they putting some of the flu in you. That don't necessarily mean you ain't going to catch the flu that year. That just means your chances might still be slim. You just got a little slimmer. You know, the real tea for this whole COVID is something that Lulu hit on earlier, and that's boosting the immune system and taking care of yourself. You know, that is your number one line of defense. Now, everybody is not in a predicament to make that a high priority because of the finances and things and access to certain things. But those who know do. And so something that I know Lulu has used and you probably have used before too, but something I know I can talk about is the Zuma product. I went on to the ZumaIsLife.com website and I was able to purchase Silvermax. I was able to purchase things to boost my immune system. I went ahead and changed up what I was doing, making sure I was getting my vitamin C shots and getting my vitamin D shots and taking my vitamin B complex shots, as well as doing the Silver Max and drinking tea with the right herbs and things in it to ensure that I was safe. What I did to ward off any illnesses. I've been around sick people and I haven't gotten sick, and I just thank God for it. But I also know that it's the discernment that God has put it instilled in me to know, hey, boost your immune system. That is your first line of defense against this COVID. So what have you ladies been doing to keep yourselves healthy?
Well, I, Ms. Chambers, I have been using some of those products as well from Zuma. I'm in the local area of Milwaukee. I rely on Dr. Carter because he's the only black pharmacist in the state of Wisconsin that I know of.
And his word of advice to me was to get elderberry. I've been using that, which is also an immune booster for you. And he said, stay away from the tablets. He said, get the liquid. Not sure about that, but I know the liquid does work. So I've been doing that, drinking a lot of alkaline water, staying away from this other stuff that they got out here, taking my vitamins, and that's what I've been doing, you know, keeping that immune system boost. Drinking a lot of teas, different teas too, to keep that heat in you too, because he kind of like flushes stuff out real quickly out of you for some reason. I learned that early on from my grandmother, who used to drink a lot of teas. Vitamin C's, things of that nature. And just, you know, just playing it safe. You know, I pick and choose my battles, where I'm going and who I'm going to be around. A lot of what I've also learned, too, keeping me safe, is having people deliver my groceries to my house and sit it on my porch. So Instacart is my friend. You know, they go to different stores like Sam's Club, Target, any place you need them to go. And they actually go and, you know, bring your groceries to the house. So I kind of like that versus going in the store, you know, especially with all these EBTs out here. And I'm not knocking the EBT. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, when it's a lot of us in one place, we all, you know, and a lot of us are not masked up. So,
my God,
it works for me to keep in my house. You
well,
get
listen.
What I'm saying? So, I can go to the door and spray my groceries, you know, spray the bags in case something got on the bag. And let it sit there for a few minutes. And then I can safely take them in the house, unbag them, put them away and throw the bags in the garbage. And we off to another day.
Well, there ain't nothing wrong with that. What I would say, too, is that for people who do want to use that method for delivering of their food, you can also go to, what is that, Amazon Fresh, and they also accept EBT, and Instacart accepts EBT in certain stores, like Aldi. I know I'm not sure about too many others, but I have used Aldi's, and I've seen that, and Sam's Club is not accepting it right now, but... Again, you can always go to Amazon Fresh and they'll deliver it as well. Just to reduce the motion in the community.
Walmart
is a high traffic area and it's one where people like to go when they are ill or when they are bored because there's nothing else to really have been doing. So please wear your mask when you're out and about. Keep your hand sanitizers with you. Keep your Lysol or your sanitizing wipes in the car. And remember to wipe down your steering wheel. Also, wear your gloves when you're going to the gas pump. Go ahead and wear your gloves to pump your gas and take them off and throw them out before you even get back in your car. So you want to think about those other precautions as well as this Delta is spiking. You know, I've seen that in the news, and I'm not one to always watch the news, but the numbers, I saw yesterday that the numbers was about 3,100 or almost, let's just say close to 3,200 new cases of COVID-19 and one death on the 16th of September. And so that brought the state's total number of cases to 693,717. And we were at a total number of 7,827 deaths.
Mm-hmm.
It did say that over the past week, the state had added an average of 2,228 cases per day, 45% higher than the previous week.
Right.
So, yeah, these numbers have me more than nervous. I already was nervous before, but I'm very, very cautious about the things that I choose to do. I know that this vaccine has a lot of stigma around it. I know people are paranoid about what is actually being injected into them. I've heard a lot of things that, a lot of reasons why people are not wanting to be vaccinated. And I can only empathize with them because the healthcare system and the government has not proven to be the most credible person or credible group of people. And so I'm here to say I understand your concerns, community, but I want to hear what those challenges were. What were those things that made you say no to the vaccine? What was that? Or did anybody say no to it? I mean, I'm still saying no to it. I mean, I'll be open and honest to say that. I'm not afraid to say that because it's my right and it's my choice. And the reason I'm asking this question is because I know people who are working in healthcare right now. I know people who work in places where they don't even have to come in contact with anyone. They're being forced to take this vaccine from their jobs. I'm hearing people who say, I didn't even want to take the vaccine, but I had to. Again, this pandemic has a lot of bullying going on, is what I'm saying.
Bad. Yes.
Come on, people ain't going to be able to get vaccinated.
That is definitely where I am coming from, Ms. Chambers, with me deciding not to return to the school district, not to return to small preschool opportunities, meaning that I was going to be more of an independent contractor because of my concerns with how the bigger pictures of school districts and government were handling, you know, the safety of the staff and things of that nature. It did not change for me. One, because I'm taking care of my elderly parents, and it was almost a prerequisite in order for me to continue to take care of them. So in order for me to be their caregiver, I was forced to get the vaccination. Not interested in getting the vaccination, did not want the vaccination. I have my own personal feelings why. I've always been skeptical of just Western medication in general from childhood on up, just from me being a sneaky child and the doctors telling my mom, oh, well, she has A, B, C, and D wrong, and she needs this. I had nothing wrong. I didn't want to go to school. Now you done told my mama that I done got all the ailments and I need all of the medication, and every time that I got a flu shot, I was sick. To the point where I was out of school longer than I probably would have been out of school if I did not get the flu shot. So I have my own personal thoughts and feelings on why I was not interested in the vaccine. I stay safe anyways because I work with children. I'm an educator. I'm forever washing my hands and everything because as much as I love children, the cooties are real. So I've already been protecting myself well before COVID because that's just a life of an educator. You washing your hands, you know how many sneezes and glues and cooties get on you before 8 a.m.? And I'm loving and hugging all of my babies because some of my babies don't get that bond, that don't get that hug, don't get that one-on-one love and nourishment that they absolutely need. So I'm not against being an over-loving educator. And with that comes all the cooties that comes with what you don't do in your own home. So for me, I was definitely bullied, even by my family. My sister, knowing that I was my mother's caregiver, was, you are, mom already is struggling, and you're just out here. Girl, I'm not out here anywhere. I'm just working and going to the store, and I'm here for the Instacarts and everything, but I'm also a very picky person. I don't want you touching my produce. You are not going to pick the tomatoes that I am. So I definitely do what I can with the curbside and the Instacarts, but I'm still a person who just overly protects themselves and time manages my time. Well, this is the day that I'm going in the community to do all my shopping and running around, and we cleaning the self and our car and the gloves and the mask and a whole nine, absolutely. But I definitely felt bullied because even within the private sector, what I am doing now as an independent contractor, a lot of the people I work for are still working from home, or maybe one of their older children may be going to the next school, and it was in all of my contracts and requirements that I would have it. So I left one entity that was not protecting me and my safety and went to another type of genre of work in the same field that still now required it because of how they are running their companies or their households. My boss right now, who is working for a Fortune 500 company, just received an email from the CEO saying that they have over 500,000. Let me say it one more time, y'all. They have over 500,000 employees. He shared this email with me and his wife. It simply said, if you're not vaccinated by November 16th, you don't work here. Excuse me? There are certain people who are making them $1 million a year, people who have been there 10, 15 years keeping the company where they are, and it was just that the email was just that short. You get vaccinated by November 16th or you are no longer an employee. There's no compensation. There's no maybe for just our remote employees. We will do A, B, C, and D. It is definitely a bully effect, and I also think that, you know, if we go back to the politics, that's money. That's the government saying, hey, you know, we kicking back A, B, C, and D to your corporation during this time. If you do not mandate with this with your company, you will lose this A, B, C, and D access that even the Fortune 500 companies who are doing well aren't willing to lose that kind of money. Everybody has their right to do what they believe is best for them, and that's the only thing that I stand on. What is best for you and how you feel is best for you is a beautiful thing. But, Ms. Chambers, the words you use, bullying, is a real thing. It is a real thing. You are letting people out here know that, hey, after this date, if you choose not to want to do this, then figure out a different way to take care of your mortgage and your family because you no longer work here. Not because I am not doing my best job, not because I'm not following protocol, not because I'm not doing anything as one of your employees that makes me want to stay here, because you have decided to decide something for my own personal well-being. Now I have to look for another job if I choose not to comply.
Come on.
That is real, but that also should be an eye-opener to what the other ladies are saying earlier. A lot of this already planned out, and what we have to do as a community is re-navigate how we are going to handle things, from small black businesses to major corporations to really being honest with how we're helping each other. You know, the days of certain moms who went to school, like I had a neighbor who was a nurse, and when I had my home daycare back in the day, I almost exclusively just worked with nurses because there weren't centers that were open past 10 p.m. at night, things like that. So what happens to our people who are not a 9-to-5 type of deal? These nurses literally had their own structure of, hey, Luanda and Lulu, y'all work second shift. We're going to work. We're going to take care of your kids doing second shift. If you can keep my kids over on the overnight shift, we really need to get back to figuring out how this is going to help us from the small regards to the bigger regards, because everybody needs help in one way or another. We need to be safe. We need to be responsible and respectful, but the bullying is only going to get worse. Same thing with, you know, how the one listener was saying about she doesn't have anything about against the EBT and how we are, but think about this. It's going to get real. Good old Joe's going to come with a, hey, no more EBT if you don't get these shots. They are showing us already how they are about to break down the communities. It's about to be somewhere serious and fierce, and whether people agree or disagree to get the vaccination, we definitely need to agree on how to move forward safely, no matter what you choose to do, so our communities can still thrive in every aspect in the world. Because it's coming, it's happening.
Exactly. And that is the necessary evil and truth that needs to be looked at and discussed, because if you don't know what to say or how to defend yourself against your choice, I mean, if you fine with taking the vaccine, I don't have nothing against you. But those people who don't want to take the vaccine, I stand by both sides, because I stand by people having a choice. Stand by that. But then I think about other situations that, you know, people have choices,
but are not in the best situation to make the best choice for themselves. And so I have to look at how what I'm saying is applying, you know, to real life and how this is affecting other people's lives. And even if everyone did get vaccinated, that would just mean, hey, you could still get the COVID, right? You could still get COVID, but it might not be that bad. Or just like with this mutated Delta variant, who's to say that there aren't other variants out here already that we're just not privy to? So it's like pulling that loose straws here. For me, I'm going to always stand back on taking care of your health and keeping your immune system and following all the precautions. I am not to that point where I am willing to take that vaccine, and that's my stance. And for those who have taken it, and for the people that I know who've actually taken it, nothing has happened to them besides some of them have caught the COVID again. Some of them had the COVID, got the vaccine, and then caught the COVID again. Make it make sense. That's all I'm saying. Make it make sense. Well, sisters, before we get off the air today, does anybody have any final thoughts they want to share before we get into what to look forward to in the next week?
Well, I do. I want to say people got to take their own lives in their hands and take care of themselves. Find out what you need. You have to go to the doctor. What am I missing? Is my immune system up? And then do what it takes. You may have to stop buying certain things to take care of your body because the government really is not looking out for us. And we don't know who to believe anymore. But one thing for sure, our bodies are with us, and we have to take care of them. So that's
right.
What I got to say. And this thing with the COVID is invisible. I think they need to put a team out there to find out where it's coming from, if it's man-made or what, so we can stop fighting amongst ourselves what's the best thing to do, because we don't have the ammunition, but they are taking our money for taxes. Stop fighting this thing for Trump and put that money into finding out where did this come from and can we stop it? That's what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Piggyback off of Miss Lulu. I agree with you. I just want people to stop being deceived. You know, I didn't understand why they had the Summerfest and all these people down there trying to see Charlie Wilson. There's plenty of stuff on YouTube, cable. You can streamline stuff. Stop putting yourself in the mix with these people, because we don't, until we know where this is coming from, because sometimes they can put the mold right into the center, and that's where it's coming from, and you don't know it. Because, you know, it's just unreal, and just don't be deceived. Keep your eyes open. Stay woke. You know, don't let the distractions distract you, you know, because it's real. They're using all these different strategies to keep us deceived and not paying attention.
Yes. I just want to take the time out before the show is over, and I don't get to thank you all, but I appreciate each and every one of you calling in today and chiming in into this discussion. Each and every one of you guys brought up some very valid points, and it was some food for thought and helped me to, as if I didn't already have appreciation for the educators, it really helps me to see what that struggle has been for you guys on the front line as essential workers. And so I just thank you, and I invite you to continue to participate in these discussions, because these your stories are important, and people need to hear it, you know. And so I thank you for that. And so the thing that I'm going to share is that it sounds like everybody's tired of not being heard. So if that is a person or if you fall into that category, I want you to follow Black Sisters on Instagram and send us a DM with your thoughts or become a patron by going over to and asking to talk. For my people who do social media, reach out email at blacksistertalk@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Remember, we do this for you so your voice can be heard. Thank you all for listening.
I know you're asking today, how long will it take? Somebody's asking, how long will prejudice blind the visions of men? I come to say to you this afternoon, however difficult the moment,
yes, sir,
however frustrating the hour, it will not be long, because truth crushed earth will rise again.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
Yes, sir.
Because no lie can live forever.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
How long?
Because you shall reap what you sow.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
How long?
Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne.
Yes,
that scaffold sways the future.
Yes,
behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. How long? Not long. Because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice.
Yes, sir.
How long?
Not long.
Because mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
He's trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He's loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword.
Yes, sir.
His truth is...